could listen to that all day long. That's Cuba Mali, a collaboration between well-known musicians from Cuba and Mali that resulted in an award-winning, Grammy-nominated 2010 album titled Afro-Cubism. It is one of my favorites. And, of course, I enjoyed that little discussion that Tumani Diabate on Kora was having with Eliades Ochoa on guitar. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. It is Wednesday, December the 31st, 2014. How about that? And we're just about done with the year. A great relief, most would say, considering that the year was very rough indeed. But here we are on the cusp of a new year, and the question is, dare we hold out hope that things will be better in 2015, or do we brace ourselves for the sequel? You, of course, are the greatest listeners on the planet, the most discerning audience ever. You call it right almost every single time. And, of course, that's what we're going to be doing today. What does 2015 have in store for us mere mortals based on what we have come through in 2014 and based on things that not yet seen, not yet manifested? What are you thinking about what we should expect in 2015? And how do we gird ourselves? How do we prepare for that? So get us ready and give us a call at 888-874-4888. Let's hear what your intuition tells you, what your analytical skills tell you, what our discussions tell you, and what the general news of the world will tell you, you know, taking everything with a grain of salt. But how do we look ahead, and what should we prepare for from your point of view? This is all about getting different perspectives as we come to the end of the year. And while you are calling, I just want to say something to you. We've spent a great deal of time together, and it has been for me an extraordinary experience. And so I offer, as we come to the close of 2014, my sincerest thanks for the gift of your friendship, your respect, the sharing of information that you do so generously and so freely with others, and the knowledge that you consistently share, the consistently high level of participation in the program. These are all gifts that I cherish, and they are an expression, in my view, of the mutuality of admiration that we have for each other. So I want to thank you so much for that. It's an extraordinary offering, and I want you to know that I'm aware of it, and I embrace it, and I thank you. I'm very grateful for that. And we hope that we continue this trend, these wonderful gifts being bestowed on each other in 2015, and to make 2015 a truly transformative year. And by that I mean on many levels. Personally, I'm dedicated, I've been planning to undertake a personal transformation. I've got to get my health together, I've got to get my weight down, I've got to get my eyes in order. You know, I'm falling apart, and time to kind of gather things back together. So I'm doing that. But I'm also purposefully looking at the new year in terms of the kind of work that I want to do. And it is going to be about assisting community groups in particular to do the transformation that needs to be done at a micro level, getting people really involved in activating their thinking and their knowledge and their concern for their community. That's what I'm dedicating 2015 to doing. And it's a good idea to, at this time, you know, when the year is about to unfold, to also unfold personally and to, with a sense of reflection and with a sense of proaction and a sense of anticipation of how can we best use our skills and what we have to offer, how best can we use these things to create a better society, a better community, a better life. All right, so enough of that philosophizing, but I needed to say that to you because, as you know, we say this to each other in so many different ways, but it's good to just be specific about it. So I wanted to do that. 888-874-4888. Tell us from your point of view what we ought to be preparing for in the new year. We start with Jason from Mount Vernon.
These things to create a better society.
Hello, Jason.
A better life.
Uh-oh. We're getting a lot of feedback from Jason. Are you there? Okay, so we lost Jason from Mount Vernon. 888-874-4888. Let's get the conversation started. What should we be thinking about? What should we be thinking about doing, even more importantly, in the year 2015, considering what we have come through, considering the issues that still loom before us? Can we make the transition into 2015 with a reasonable amount of confidence and, more important, clarity? What does clarity tell you about what we are to face in 2015? This is important in a way because we see on the micro level in terms of what your own world is shaping up to be. But as you know, we are part of a society, and society has its own way of moving. And at all times, we are, as individuals, caught between the interface between the two, the pace of the of society as a whole and our own rate of growth, if you will. One is more horizontal. That's the society, the rate at which society progresses or doesn't, but it's the horizontal plane of history. And in one way or the other, we are all affected by it. We are all enmeshed in it. So whether we agree with where things are going or not, we are affected. So that's the horizontal plane of history. But there is a personal plane of history, and the personal plane is more vertical, and that is we ascend, or we think we do, or we want to ascend. And we're always at these two different points, how our vertical climb interfaces with the horizontal plane of history. Jason, you're back on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, very well.
Okay, good afternoon. Happy New Year. That's coming up.
Thank you.
2015 may be bright with more illumination and more contributions from people who are maybe on the sidelines who can actually help move this these initiatives and improve our structures of our country in a better direction than we have so far since it's inception.
Thank you very much for those wonderful sentiments and thoughts. We appreciate that.
Right.
So what do you see on the horizon?
Well, I see more alliances and coalitions that would never be possible that are emerging and are converting and convergence. I see out of basic survival, break off branches from different movements. Take your pick, from the Tea Party to Oath Keepers to those who are the National Rifles Associations who are adamant about their Second Amendment rights, to those who are on the left and progressive who are adamant about the First Amendment rights, about free speech, because these are being compromised. These are being violated.
Okay, and what will come of this coalition building, you think?
Well, putting egos aside and personal agendas aside and different ethnic backgrounds aside, I would imagine a lot of effective results.
Can you give us an idea of what you expect, let's say, in one particular area, the result might be?
Sure. That would be filing federal lawsuits against those that jeopardize our constitutional rights, filing federal lawsuits against those who actually cause us to having personal enslavement. I see in different initiatives taking place. If enough people from different segments of these groups get together, put down their personal agendas, put down their own personal egos, and make these alliances, because not one group, not one Tea Party, not Oath Keepers, not National Liberty Alliance, not Code Pink, not Progressives of New York, Progressives of America, not those who are adamant about free speech, not one group can really shut down all these adverse actions taking place. And it's deliberate. And I see that fighting in the so-called federal courts, not the state courts, not the local municipality courts, but in federal court, your grievances is the first step to getting shutting down the system that causes so much turmoil.
But let me ask you now, I'm going to ask you about your personal role in all of this. Where do you see yourself investing your energy in? Do you see yourself, let me ask you first, do you see yourself investing in coalition building of any type? If so, what? And what will the objective be?
That's top secret, but I do a lot of coalition.
Top secret, yes. You say?
Well, people pay me for this service. I'm a consultant. I have a progressive media background. I have 6 years of college. I am 1 year shy of my master's in communications. I do consult on a lot of different areas, strategically, as well as practically, on a level where it's grassroots initiatives to international forums, where you're addressing petitioning The Hague, where you're petitioning Geneva, or the International Banks of Settlements, or the Bank of London, because I have connections that are international as well.
You're doing a nice job of doing a little ad there. But tell us what you think is the best use, or where you intend to make your investment this coming year in terms of building coalitions that achieve a worthwhile goal.
Well, there's a lot of plot lines that have been already set up against us, and these plot lines, PLOT, plot lines, are adverse, harmful initiatives. You take your pick. Goldman Sachs is one. Corporate personhood, healthcare, the military-industrial complex, our monetary system based on the federal debt notes, which are a promise to pay. I just named a few.
Mm-hmm.
These instruments have to be dismantled. These instruments and these systems that put us in servitude have to be dismantled or deactivated. And how you deactivate Goldman Sachs? How do you deactivate corporate personhood? How do you deactivate the healthcare system on the military-industrial complex, on monetary system. Those are the big ones. You deactivate them by disengaging in them. You deactivate them by calling to task the master players who are behind the scenes and federally indict them. You federally indict them, not on the floor of Congress, where it's a dog and pony show, but you indict them in the private courts, in the private sector, either in the International Bank of Settlements or the Bank of Trades, for violations of your constitutional rights, violation of your personhood.
All right. You have a good handle on it. Thank you so much, Jason,
You're
for
welcome.
Your call
You're
today.
You're welcome. I'm always there to give some contribution.
Thank you very much. 888-874-4888. Well, we just got the conversation started with somebody who is quite focused. And I agree, the answer to a lot of what we are facing as a society lies in the bundling of efforts, and that is coalition building. It is a very important and necessary tool, but it has to be very strategically approached, because not everybody interested in building coalitions is also interested in a democratic solution. And some people are quite territorial, and as Jason said, you have to set aside egos, because you get a lot of ego problems in coalition building. But the idea, just the same, is valid. It's very, very necessary, and it increases the power of people. It also increases the likelihood of a desirable result. 888-874-4888. We're talking about the year 2015. What is it likely to bring? And how do we prepare for it? Not just in a passive way, just being reactive, you know, that somebody decides that this is what the agenda is going to be. But how do we change that tune? How do we, in 2015, make a definitive move from being reactive to being proactive? What is that going to look like? Where will the investment be? What is the energy going to be directed toward? And will we succeed at it? We have to try. Or do we just sit and wait for the sequel of 2014? It's not a good idea. Not a good idea at all. We have to, I think, begin one of the things that we have been reluctant to do, which is to name the problem publicly, name the problem or the problem people or the problem organizations, name them, serve notice that we're coming for them, that we are onto them, that they are responsible for a great deal of dislocation in our society, a great deal of wrong, a great deal of inequity, a great deal of injustice. We have to name the problem. And when you name the problem and you identify the people associated with the problem, you also have to have a strategy for what it is you're going to do about the problem. We've had only parts of these things enacted, and usually it's about marches and so forth, and that's great. But one of the encouraging things that came out of the recent marches, I call them the justice marches, one of the very comforting things, was that we saw in this brand new leadership, burgeoning leadership, that is in effect the expression of coalition building, they didn't just show up in the streets. They had demands. They had 11 specific demands. And that is extremely significant. And it tells us that this leadership is taking a different path. They may not have a primer on how this is done, but we have to trust in the process that has expressed itself so far. And it is very encouraging. People are getting over the historical hurdles to working with each other. They are set on rectifying a specific problem, that is the use of the militarization of police, the use of excessive force, police, rogue cops and what needs to be done with them, and a criminal justice system and a prosecutorial system unwilling to take on the problem. And, of course, that also extends to the various police departments across the country. So they've done this. And by the time they hit the streets, they had 11 specific demands. And this was in stark contrast to the old leadership that just said, you know, getting out in the streets is enough. No, they said, here are our demands, and we are working. We are going to see to it that these demands are met. From Berkeley, California, Harvey, you're on the air.
Hello, wonderful Eutrice, and happy
Hello,
New Year to
Hello, wonderful.
You.
Harvey, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
And the very same to you.
And also, happy New Year to your great audience.
Thank you for that.
Well, this coming year, I can see it as a year to curb our output of carbon and slow climate destabilization, which, you know, if we don't have a planet, we can't do whatever we do. So I think we have to pay a lot of attention to slowing climate destabilization. It's some of the major news now. Every time you pick up the paper, it's about some place that's been pummeled around the planet. And the thing is that I don't think we realize how much carbon we're putting out. Like worldwide now, we have over 1 billion cars. That's 1,000 million cars. And think of all the planes in the sky, all the flights every day from all the countries, and all the boats in the ocean. There's a lot of boats and ships. It's just an incredible amount. And then all the construction machinery worldwide, and then all the farming machinery worldwide, and then all the recreational vehicles that no one thinks about. And, of course, all the trucks, buses, and cars, and trains, and then all the armed forces around the world use of carbon, use of fossil fuels that burn carbon into the air, and then all the utility plants, all the coal, oil, natural gas, and nuclear plants that create so much carbon, and then home heating, and it goes on. So we really have to look at the part we play in carbonizing our atmosphere and driving the heat up, which creates more evaporations off the ocean, which creates bigger and bigger hurricanes and tornadoes, and you name it. We're just asleep at the wheel, you might say. But there is a good something good that's coming, and I believe there's a revolution in terrestrial transportation, and it's the I might have mentioned it before to you. It's the brushless electric hub motor wheel. This is a wheel, like a car wheel, but the motor is built into the wheel itself. And they're really great. They're powerful. They're scalable. You can have electric hub motor wheels in everything from roller skates, skateboards, bikes, motorcycles, big rigs, buses, trains, cars. You name it, farming equipment, construction equipment, you know, even those big cranes that unload containers off of the ships worldwide, those big cranes, they roll on brushless electric hub motor wheels. So the technology is there, plus the Moon rover and the Curiosity rover on Mars both have brushless electric hub motor wheels. So they're space tested for the harshness of space. And so this would be the beginning of true electric transportation, since it can be applied across the board. And the batteries are really coming up fast. We have the batteries. I think one of the Teslas now is going to do 400 miles between, before next recharge. And so if we plug our new electric cars with the brushless electric hub motor wheels into our solar rooftops or solar installations, then we can power our cars off the sun. And this would really, really help to reduce our carbon input and really help to slow climate destabilization. So that's what I'm looking for in the year 2015.
Thank you. That's a very, very optimistic and comforting view. Thank you very much, Harvey, for that.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you. We're still in California with DX from Los Angeles.
Hello, Eutrice. How are you?
Hello.
On this fine day?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Happy New Year to you, and
thank
happy
you.
New Year to everyone who's listening, the PRN listeners. What I see, one of the main issues, well, the main issue that we have here that we have been dealing with the last few years, actually, and what's going to be really, really important in the year coming up is to address inequality. And to quote one of your fellow PRN hosts, one of the taglines from his show, and that's Mike Fader, who I listen to, one of the taglines to his shows is that at the bottom of most of our problems in this country is income and wealth inequality. I would put it a little differently, and I would say that it's basically social stratification, which has been occurring over the last several decades, actually. The wealth disparity, the transfer of money upwards, we haven't seen this type of transfer in any country in the world ever. I mean, when you have, and we all know who the culprits are, who the main people are, and as you said, it's important to name them. You know, there are the Citigroups, there are the Bank of Americas, the Walmarts, all of these people. I mean, when you look at it, you know, why should each Walmart heir be worth $37 billion, but yet they pay their employees so little that a lot of them have to go get on public assistance, food stamps? I mean, this is the issue of our time, if not the last several decades of the last century. This is the main issue, and I agree with Mike Fader that this is the underlying root to all of the problems. Of course, there are different areas to address, and there's a lot of work to be done.
In 2015, based on what you have outlined as a problem, what do you see ahead?
Well, I called last week, and this Monday, and I'm glad you're having this discussion going on all week, because I had a chance to think for the last couple of days. And love that you have this classroom on air and this way for us to vent our feelings. So I've been thinking, what I mentioned on Monday was about the press and manipulation of our society through propaganda through the press, but that's only one weapon. And I see that this is part of the whole powers that be trying to address what's going to happen when most Americans wake up to this social stratification that's going on. Another thing is that power equals money. So, of course, I mean, money equals power. So the people who have the least money in the society, of course, poor minorities and poor white people, there's going to be an upheaval, okay, because they've looked at other societies where this has happened, and even in this country, at times in the past when it hasn't been as great a wealth disparity, but this has happened where the money gets transferred up, and there's always a point where it blows up, and that's what they're trying to address with the media, with the propaganda, and also with the crackdown of the police. Now, what I found a little bit surprising of this last year was all the white people who started coming out and saying, wait a minute, these black people really aren't lying. Because, of course, in the black communities, we've been dealing with this militarization of police and this hard crackdown for decades. So now a lot of white people who have never had to address this are starting to wake up, and that's a good thing. So back to my point, the powers that be are trying to put everything in place to address this blow up when it happens. And it's already starting to happen, which is a good thing. And they're trying to find different ways to contain it, to co-opt it, to make it go away, and it's not working. See? So they have a big problem on their hands. And what I see for 2015 is, I think, as the caller said before me, that called said, I think a lot of people who weren't previously involved in this are going to be getting involved. I'm personally going to be more involved. I want to tell you some good news, Yatrice. I'm going to start this Saturday. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Well, I went to a rally last Saturday down in Los Angeles, the Millions March rally that was held and near Prospect Park, I believe. Yeah, Prospect Park. Or Pan Pacific Park, I'm sorry. We marched around, and I was mainly there just to see the crowd of people that were there and to get involved. And what I see is that along with this movement, there's a lot of re-education that needs to be done too. But back to my point, I'm going to start this weekend. I'm going to another rally near Broadway and 65th in L.A. where the LAPD gunned down Ezell Ford. And what I'm going to be doing while I'm down there is, with your permission, because I feel
my
like
permission?
Yeah, because I feel like your show is a classroom on air. So what I want to do, with your permission, is hand out flyers to get people aware of your program.
Oh, you don't need my permission to do that. That's great promotion. That's wonderful. Thank you.
I guess I shouldn't say permission, but, you know, I just wanted to tell you, get your blessing. But I've already printed up some flyers. I have. I mean, I've already printed up some flyers because I feel like your show is such a wealth of information, and it's a classroom on air, and I want people to know about it. I mean, I've printed up 100 for myself, and I'm actually going to make this offer. Anyone who's listening who may be planning to attend an event and wants to hand out Lead Stories flyers, you know, I have all the contact information on there, even your 800 number and what time you're on and the PRN website. So anyone who wants to contact me at my email so I can send this flyer to them so that they can hand it out, I will do that.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for promoting the program. I always thank everyone, especially on the Facebook page, when they promote the program. It's really a wonderful, kind service, and I appreciate it greatly.
Yes, and I want to give out this email address so they can contact me, and I will immediately email them back the flyer. It's b.x@email.com. And email is all one word with no hyphen or anything. D as in David, dot X as in X-ray, at email.com. And the reason I'm doing this, Yatrice, not only because you have a wonderful, great show, but because I see people at these rallies that really need a boost in what they really know about the issues, and I feel like your program does that. I mean, last Saturday I saw a few older black people still wearing their Obama shirts with Martin Luther King and Obama on it, and they still have this notion that Obama's on our side when it comes to this. So not that we want to bash the president, but we need to just tell it like it is and get these people, you know, this re-education campaign going. So that's my mission for 2015, and I'm starting this Saturday. So I just wanted you to know that.
Really good, transformative new year to you. Thank you so much. From Brooklyn, Vidal, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air, Vidal.
Hi, Joseph, and you, Trees.
Fine, thank you. And how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
So tell us what we ought to be getting ready for, from your perspective, in 2015.
Well, I've been getting ready for a long time, so it's just going to be a continuation. I think that we should, this is a time of revelation, and we should stop allowing ourselves to be called minorities and stop calling ourselves minorities. Because you ask yourself the question, what is a minority? Is that an alien? Is that something not human? Or, you know, so I don't like that word, and I think we should work on as a community to stop using negative things, negative names, negative labeling, rather, to appoint to ourselves or allow other people to appoint these things to us. And I think the community should get together and form more watch. Watchdog association to see who's in our communities, to even mind ourselves. And I think that we should, just as a collective, become more conscious of what's going on in our communities, and especially with the council people who are supposed to be representing our communities. And that's basically all I have to say for now. And I'll continue to listen to your show.
But before you go, Vidal, let's ask about you. Tell us about where you have put your energy, let's say, in 2014. Where are you going to put it in 2015?
In 2014, I've been dealing with the Freedom Party. And I had to put that on hold a little bit because we have some land in Louisiana, and we have some lawyers who are trying to steal the land. So I've been focusing on trying to learn legal terminologies to follow what's going on in court. And I will continue to do the same in 2015 because a lot of our people are being scammed out of their land, their homes and properties, and we don't have enough people to fight. So I think we should form a coalition of those who have lost their homes or are fighting for their homes, for their property, their land, to come together and fight for what's ours and not let people come in here and continue to steal it from us. So that's what I'm going to be focusing on also in 2015, as well as doing all the other organizational events with the community. So that's why I am basically so far. Who knows what will unfold in 2015 as to what I'm called to do. And that's it right now.
Well, that's quite enough. But in 2015, do you see yourself as you raise this land issue? Would it become larger than you think? Or is it something that you're focusing on?
I think it already is larger than us, than me. Mm-hmm. You know, it always has been. It's just that our people, a lot of us don't understand or know where to go to for help. And a lot of people who we go to for help don't help us or don't have the information or as to how to help us. And may not even know what's going on with our people. Some lawyers don't even know certain names of titles. Like, say, our property is a lodeo title property, which means that it's almost like a sovereignty because it's been in the land for our family for over 114 years. And so this is like a land patent property. It was not bought. It was a claim property. And it's different from that in a mortgage property, which is another thing, another fraud within itself. So we won't get into that. So basically these people, a lot of these companies that are propping up or court systems that are forcing people to sell their land, it's basically a scam, and we need to put a stop to it. So that's what we're working on. That's what I'm working on, and it's a nationwide thing, and you know, not only nationwide. You see communities and governments come in and take people's land all over the world. So it's not a new thing either.
No,
so
it's not. But what I would ask you to consider doing is to document how you have gone about this particular matter. So that at some point you may want to start some kind of a conversation, perhaps on as a blog or some kind of a website or something, so that people can benefit from the experience that you are going through now. And because you're going through the experience, you would have acquired a certain amount of expertise yourself in dealing with this question.
I have definitely thought about doing it.
Oh, good for you. And the best of luck and the best of everything for the new year.
And thank you, and thanks for allowing my call to come through.
Thank you for calling.
Okay.
We go to New Jersey next with Michael. Hello, Michael. How are you?
Hi, Trees, and hi to the PRN audience.
Thank you.
And Happy New Year to everybody.
Thank you so much.
You know, as I look forward into the next year, you know, I think there's a lot of crises. And there's opportunities, and I would ask, you know, how do we approach them? Do we approach them one crisis at a time, one way to do it, or is there a holistic approach to it where you can change on almost a universal kind of approach. You know, since our last discussion, I did a little looking on the internet, and and you know, when there's a lot of discussions between the right and the left, etc., and your last caller or the caller before DX was talking about equality is a big issue, and it's always comes down to the individual and society, the individual and the state, and it comes down also to freedom and equality. And they seem to divide freedom and equality. I don't know if others see this as well. It's either you're equal and you're not free, or you're free and you're not equal. And because of this division between these two, we can't seem to get it right. And people like me, and I feel you especially as well, and the PRN audience are concerned, I think, for the most part, in achieving a good society. And we can have a discussion about what is a good society. But for me, a good society says freedom and equality. You can't have one without the other. And why there's this great division between the two is the focus of something that I think that has to be solved if we're to have a good society. You need freedom and equality. In fact, from my view, if there's no equality, there's no freedom. And also, if there's no freedom, there's no equality. So, but that's on a different, it's on a different level. It's not on a fragmented level. What we've done is we've fragmented these things. Now,
let me just ask you here. There is another aspect, another dimension to this question of freedom and equality. You say it's both. But for a significant part of the population, it's been neither
right.
freedom nor equality. So where does that come into the discussion?
Well, you know, I was looking on the internet a little bit, Wikipedia and stuff, and I was trying to say, where are we? And, you know, I talked a little bit because people on your show have been throwing around the word fascism and democracy, and I think, you know, we have to sort of get a grip of where we are, how we got here, and what is the way forward. And I came across something that I said, well, you know, we're not living really in a democracy right now. And
we've never lived in a democracy. We've always lived, so far, in a republic.
Correct. Okay, that's a form of the form of democracy, a republic, I suppose.
Well, democracy is supposed to be the philosophy that undergirds this organized form of government.
Right.
Government is a republic. We are organized as a republic, which is a collection of states having interaction with each other. And democracy is supposed to be the political philosophy that informs the way our society should operate.
Right. Majority rules, or the public rules. And the public has the reins over the state rather than the state has the reins over the public.
All things being extremely theoretical, of course.
Right. But let's explore this a little if we have time. I found something that's called an authoritarian democracy, and I think this is what we have. In Wikipedia, it says an authoritarian democracy is a form of democracy directed by a ruling elite of an authoritarian state that seeks to represent the different interests of society. Authoritarian democracy is also called organic democracy by some proponents. In use for cases of fascism and Stalinism, it is also referred to as totalitarian democracy. So I think there's a slippery slope that I see that many times societies in the developed world, etc., or modern societies tend to drift and slide towards totalitarianism, authoritarianism. And this seems to be happening because, you know, when you lose, when you say money is speech, and you start to, you know, lose the sense of a democracy, it's starting to slide downhill. And I think that's one of the things. And I looked, there's a fellow in the social sciences, a fellow by the name of Milton Rokeach, who actually came up with a scale for measuring different kinds of political systems. And this scale measured on a axis of equality and freedom. And for example, the kind of system that the socialists have would be freedom was ranked first and equality second, whereas Nazism with Hitler was freedom was ranked 16th and equality 17th. Goldwater kind of capitalism, he ranked where freedom was ranked first and equality was ranked 16th.
Well, you know, all of this stuff, to me, with all due respect to all these people who came up with all these wonderful ways of ranking things, in the end, a lot of it is just, to me, irrelevant in the scheme of things, because they still just wipe out the complexity. They simplify, super simplify the complex arrangements in a society where you have built-in inequality, which is a necessary part of how these societies function. And this is what we have. I've talked about democracy. You know, I mean, that, for example, you talk about whether it's a authoritarian democracy and all these different words and the terms and that they fly around and you're supposed to get all excited about dissecting the words. But democracy really, as I've described it here before, really has to do, and this is coming into the parameters of your discussion today, dealing with the individual and the state. Democracy is an interplay between the individual and the state and can best be measured by the degree to which you and I and others, called citizens, have access to the strategic resources of our society. That's the bottom line.
Yes, I agree and with that. You've said that before. I agree with that.
And that's how you measure democracy anywhere in the world. And whether it is a socialist country or communist country or democratic socialism is the thing that they say they follow, or in the case of the United States, unfettered democracy, no matter what they say their government is about, what they define as the philosophy of the society, you look, bottom line, at the degree, the quality, and the frequency of access that you and I and ordinary people have to the strategic resources of our society. That's how you measure democracy.
Right. I mean, the lowest, the considered most vulnerable people, let's put it that way. You know, I think you should measure it based on what they have available to them. And is it different than, you know, because we've mentioned it before, we live now in a bronze, copper, silver, gold society, right? Where they're striating the different
States, this
services
is the thing,
that people could look
this,
forward to.
But this is the thing. In the United States, we still have to start with a bottom line reality that this is a racist society. That's the first injustice and the first denial and the first, should I say, the first contradiction. And it is the permanent contradiction. And we can talk about all these other theories and how they apply, and these guys could talk about how do you measure democracy. But if you're ignoring the yawning gap here that exists purposefully, scientifically formulated to operate precisely this way. Lots of money and laws and everything else have gone into maintaining this structure, which is just indefensible and which is going to yield, is scientifically designed to create inequality because the country functions on that. That is a permanent principle of our society. Other societies are different. It may be religion. It may be, the color of your eyes and the color of your hair. But all societies have these contradictions.
Absolutely.
So when people like social scientists begin the process of discussing these things and they negate the glaring contradiction here, then why are we even bothering discussing whatever the measurement is? It's predicated on a false premise. So if you have a false premise, your conclusion obviously is going to be false, whatever it is.
Yes, and this is what I was coming to. I think that the division between freedom and equality is also false, because the way it's jawboned and propagandized in the country, if you turn on Fox News or the other, which I don't watch any of those programs, I just don't watch news on TV, but the right is always talking about freedom, and the left, is talking about equality, as if they're incompatible.
Mm-hmm.
Like if everybody's equal, then I'm not going to be free because I can't do what I want. But is freedom to do whatever you want? Is that what freedom is? And is equality mean the lowest common denominator? That everybody's the same and therefore there's no freedom? This is false. I think the terms, the actual words, freedom and equality, are grasped by the conditioned mind that we all are conditioned in some form. And it says that those two things are incompatible.
So in 2015, Michael, what is to be expected with respect to this particular issue that you have highlighted today?
Well, there's so many crises on the horizon that are coming up, and I think, we're looking at the climate change coming more into focus, the police brutality issue, the torture issue, spying on our own people, groups and political people, and we're coming to these extraordinary times into which people are losing trust in one another. We're losing trust in the relationship, as I said, between the state and the individual. And we're losing, we're getting to a distrustful age.
You fell for Obama's word? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I don't
this
know.
Question
I,
of trust?
I missed that, but I just feel that we're getting into a time where there's a lack of trust and understanding of our community goals and our community aspirations, which I agree with you should be, from a progressive standpoint, should be the access to the goods of society that enable individuals to be free and have a sense of knowing that we're all human, and on that basis we're all equal. So that's my focus is, I like to write and communicate, and my focus is to see how that is possible. Now, if you remove a cause, you remove the effect. So so what is the cause of this distrust, this division?
Oh, well, that's a tall order, and we run out of time.
Wait, I'm sorry for taking up so much of your time.
No, it was a very, very good conversation. I enjoyed it.
It goes a long way, Maybe you could make some time, and we could really explore in depth the individual and society and freedom and equality and how it could move forward towards not idealism, but the actualizing of a good society.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that brings us to the end of our program today. I want to thank you all for contributing so meaningfully to the discussion and to get us kind of ready for what is going to come in just a couple of days. It starts. Stay tuned. Coming up next is NDC Savings Club with host Alex Acuna. You want to reach me at leadstories@gmail.com and on Facebook, Lead Stories with Eutrice Lead. As we come back to the new year, I want to tell you about some exciting things that are happening that I'm involved in and that I hope that you will be part of. But until then, do have yourselves a great, great new year, a start to the new year, and commit to a transformative, a truly transformative year. Thank you so much for the pleasure and the great privilege of your company. Bye-bye.